Good morning. Redeemer. Redeemer. Shall we please pray? Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for bringing us together. We entrust ourselves to you. We ask the Lord, you will speak to us. May we hear you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. So today is the last in our short series through the book of Hebrews. And the writer wants us to know something about life. It's a simple fact. Look at verse 1, the last phrase. It says, let us run. What is the implication? What is life? Life is a... life is a race. Life is a race. And for those of us here in the city, there's a way we understand a race. And perhaps not just us, elsewhere. When we think about a race, we are always in competition against others. So like here in the city, we sometimes, not just human beings, we are even in competition against traffic. So if you are living this side of town and you're working in the central district area, business area, if you don't leave around, what's the time? 5:30, you know your employment is in jeopardy. 5:30 a.m. So we feel it. It's a race. You are racing against traffic. Not just that. I saw some stats, University of Ghana, they had applications, about 70,000, and they were only able to admit 22,000. Going to school is a race. Now you've completed school, you are looking for a job, you apply to Ghana Police. This stat is from 4 years ago. They had about 10,000 applications. 5%. So for every 100 people that applied, only 5 people got employment. So as you are seeking for a job, you know that you're in a race. You are not just your qualification, you are in competition against other people. Even certain everyday things. I remember my junior sister when she was in the class 4 or 5. So this over 15 years ago. One day I remember she telling my mom that she doesn't want me to be taking her to school. So we were living at Hacho and she was at St. Andrew's JSS in Medina. St. Andrew's in Medina. So we had to board a vehicle from Hacho to Medina. And she told my mom one day that I don't want Kwabena to be taking me to school. Do you know why? Because to get a vehicle in the morning, it's not just your fare. It's a fight. You have to shove people away. And she said that, I'm dull. Me and my whole dull. So I wasn't prepared to go and do it. Like, I see an elderly woman boarding and then, of course, come on then, Charlie. No, I won't do it. And what was the effect? So she says, ma'am, please, Kwabena is not taking me to school again. So even in everyday things like boarding trotro, we are in a race. We are in competition against other people. I recently heard a story of two friends. They were going for a stroll, and they saw a lion. And one of them immediately began to tie his lace. And the other said, listen, there's no way you're going to outrun the lion. He says, you're right. I'm not seeking to outrun the lion. I'm seeking to outrun you. Once I outrun you, what am I sure of? I'm safe. Charlie, anybody me? So we feel this thing about it. So for when we think about race, we are in competition against others. But now look at the verse again, verse 1. He says, the last phrase, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Some translation says, the race that is marked out for us. In this life of race, the Bible wants us to understand, it is not in competition against anyone. Your track is set for you. The goal is to run successfully and complete, not to overtake and defeat others. It's a race marked out for you. What you want to be, what you need to do, what God has ordained is something marked out for you. In the mind of God, in the mind of heaven, you are not in competition against anyone. Look, it feels like that, but you are not in competition against anyone. It is marked out for you. So the goal is to run successfully and complete. Anyone who completes is a winner. So this morning, we are looking at running with endurance. Running with endurance. A race is hard. A race is difficult. So the author says to his people who were despondent, almost giving up, he says, let us run with endurance. And we're going to look at it under three headings. The mindset of a runner, the gear of a runner, and the heart of a runner. Running with endurance, the mindset of a runner, the gear of a runner, and the heart of a runner. Our first point, the mindset of a runner. Verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And you know, in Bible study, when you see therefore, what are you supposed to do? Ask why it is therefore. So it's drawing attention to what he said in chapter 11. The faithful forefathers, people who also ran their race successfully, people who completed their race. He says, we are surrounded by them. He calls them a cloud of witness. So a cloud is a metaphor for a great number, a throng. And these forefathers, they are described as witness. They are bearing testimony. So the Greek word behind this, the word witness, later on in church history is going to be used, the word martyr. So people who suffered and died for their faith. But here in this context, it's not talking about that. It's just saying that they bore witness. Now, why is the writer drawing our attention to people who run with endurance? Because the point he's been making in Hebrews, these people, they were commended for their faith. They ran with endurance, not because of their qualifications, but because of their faith in God. When we look at them, look, these were faithful people. But do you know what else we also know about them? They were flawed people. They are not perfect people. Think about Noah. He says Noah, like he condemned the world. Do you remember what happened to him? This was the man who got drunk and he was naked. In Q, we say, wabosram. I don't know the English equivalent. He was drunk, naked. Yet he ran with endurance and he was successful. Think about Abraham, the father of faith. You remember the episode when he was traveling with Sarah and they meet certain king? Do you know what he told them, who Sarah was? In a way, it was true. But you know why? To protect himself. You remember Ishmael, how Ishmael came in? The man who had received the promise. Think about Joseph. Think about Moses, a murderer who became a fugitive from justice. Yet, he ran with endurance. And when, as we look at Hebrews 11, like the surprise, if we are writing Hebrews 11, there are some names we omit. Do you know one of them? Look at verse 32. Just look at verse 32. Which name are you sure that you won't include there? Hebrews 11, 32. Who in their mind will think of Samson as an exemplar of faith? But he says that, listen, all these people are witnesses unto us. What effect is this supposed to have on us as we look at them? I think it's supposed to give us a particular mindset that if God worked with such flawed people and they succeeded, God can also work with us and we will succeed. It's supposed to give us this mindset that what made them successful was not their qualifications, was not that they lived perfect lives, but it was their trust in God. So just as I see imperfections in my life, I can also have this mindset that I can also run with endurance. Look, this is critical for running. And this mindset, like research calls it the growth mindset. It's opposed to a fixed mindset. In a fixed mindset, let me give an example. In uni, we had a maths teacher, so we read engineering. And this maths engineering class, I did agricultural engineering, and we were doing it with aerospace, those who were doing aerospace engineering. So aerospace engineers are like the medical school of the engineering department in tech. So their cutoff was around 6 or 7. Our cutoff was 12. So we all made it. So now we are in class, agricultural engineering and aerospace engineering in the same class. So one of the times, our lecturer is teaching, and somebody asks the question. And then the lecturer's response is, what course are you reading? Agric engineering. Okay, you can't understand. Now, how do you think this impacted the rest of us? So for him, learning maths is not an ability that you can develop. It's something you have or you don't have. And once you are doing agricultural engineering, forget it. Look, forget it. A fixed mindset. We can have this type of mindset when it comes to our walk with the Lord. When it comes to our life. When it comes to pursuing the dreams and the goals and the desires and the plan of God for our lives, you can look around and say, this is how far. Fixed mindset. There's no way people with my background, people with my experience, people with my weakness, people like me under God can make any progress. It's fixed. But it says that, look at this cloud of witnesses. Because of their trust in God, they ran successfully. They ran with endurance, and they had commendation. So what mindset do you have? You need the mindset of a runner. Our second point, and we know that in running, your gear is important. How you are dressed is important. So I'm sure you've seen the Olympics. These people are rich. They can afford Timberland boots. I know Uncle O like boots. But even if he's running, you don't use Tims to run. It's an inappropriate gear. They can afford three-piece suits. When they are being interviewed, we see them, like, they are dressed. I recently saw a footballer, he was coming from the club or something. I was shocked at how he was dressed, like a hip-hop artist. The blings and the jeans and... But on the field, there is an appropriate way to dress if you are going to be successful. The author tells us this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also, when we think about dressing, we think about what we have to put on. But here he says that when you are thinking about the gear, it's not what you put on, it's what? What you should take out, what you should put off. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. If we are going to run successfully, we are going to run with endurance. What God has set for us, the destinies he has set for us, if you are going to be successful, it says that you have to be appropriately dressed. And the way to think about your dressing is what you have to lay off. Whatever impedes should be laid off. And here in the context of running back there, in the time of the writer of the Hebrews, when people were running, they actually stripped themselves of every clothing so that they can run. And that's the imagery. He says, strip off. There are some things that are going to impede your running. Strip off. So that when we are thinking about running with endurance, it's not first just an issue of doing more. It's not an issue of exerting yourself and doing more. He's saying that there's something you need to be dealing with. Take out. I was recently listening to a podcast, and they were explaining this principle in business. So imagine you're a business, you've come out with a product, and you are marketing it, but people are not really patronizing. What is the instinctive thing we do? Market more. Employ maybe better personnel. So those things, they are called fuel. We think of putting it in more so that the appeal will be greater. So there was this company. They made custom-made furniture, perhaps like Iroko. So for people, young couples, you come in, showroom, online, and you actually design the type of furniture you want. So people, when they come in, they are blown away. Like, I'm now going to buy my own set of furniture. They're really happy. So they come, they go through all those things, the design. Do you know what happened? And then they vanish. So they're trying, what is wrong? Now, think about it. What do you think might be wrong? So perhaps the price is too high, so please lower prices. But they realized that it wasn't the price. It was a simple friction they had it they had to address. And this was it. Think about it. For anyone who is thinking about furniture, it's not as though in their home they are sitting on the floor. They are not sitting on the floor. They already have furniture. So at some point in their enthusiasm, like, okay, we are going to get a new set of furniture, it occurred to them, I need to deal with the furniture already in my room. And then they realize, okay, where do I take it? Then let me wait. So then they vanish. So when they saw that friction, that's what they decided to do. They made the offer. Upon delivery, we will take away your old furniture. They didn't have to, as it were, do more in the marketing. They had to take away friction. And the impact was seen. That is what the author is also calling us to. If you are going to run with endurance, he's not saying do more. He's saying that there are certain things that are friction in your life that you need to take out. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, one time walked to his mom and said, "Mom, please, I wonder why he had this question, but he said, Mom, define sin for me." And this is her response. "Whatever weakens your reasoning, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes away your relish for spiritual things. In short, if anything increases the authority of the flesh over the spirit, that to you becomes sin, however good it is in itself. Weakens reason, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, takes away your relish for spiritual things." The author says, if you're going to run with endurance, this is how you should understand sin. Sin is always an impediment, no matter how attractive it is. It will impede your progress, no matter how attractive it is. So throw it away. The gear of the runner. Our third point, the heart of a runner. The most important thing we are going to say. Verse 2. Looking to Jesus. Concentrated attention, avoidance of distraction, looking to Jesus. But observe this. He doesn't say looking at Jesus. What is the difference between looking at and looking to? Looking at is simply an issue of perception, seeing. But looking to is also talking about a posture, a reliance upon. Looking unto Jesus for support, for inspiration. Looking to Jesus. And he's described as the founder and perfecter of our faith. The founder, the originator, the source. He's the crowning example of trust in God. And he's the perfecter. He's the one who brings something to a successful completion. He's the perfecter of our faith. So it means that as we look at the cloud of witnesses, as we want to lay things aside, if we are not relying upon the perfecter, know for sure, we will never run successfully. Now, look at what we are told about Jesus. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, there's a question we need to ask ourselves here. What was the joy that was set before Jesus? What was the joy that was set before Jesus? Another way to approach this question is this. What did Jesus not have, which after the cross he had? That's what the book of Hebrews has been telling us. So in the book of Hebrews, always the seating of Jesus is always related to his atoning work. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, 8, verse 1, 10, verse 12. When you're talking about Jesus being seated, it's always related to his atoning sacrifice, his high priestly work and atoning work. So that Jesus is the high priest that ended all high priests. He's the sacrifice that ended all sacrifices. So what was the joy? One writer put it this way. The joyous anticipation of seeing his people clean is what sent him through his arrest, his death, his burial, his resurrection. The joyous anticipation of seeing you forgiven. That joyous anticipation of seeing you having access to God through him. That was the joy that was set before Jesus. In other words, the joy of Jesus was you. Now, this gives us a way of looking at coming to him. It means that anytime we draw strength from Jesus to run the race that is set before us, even when we trip and fall, anytime we come to him for his strength, his forgiveness, anytime we are appropriating his atoning work on our behalf. What is happening in the heart of Jesus is that his joy is increased. Jesus is not frustrated when we are coming to him continually to enable us run the race set before us. We have people in our lives that we know we are not always joyful going to them for certain help. We know they'll give it to us eventually, but before they give it to you. So when we are going to them, there's that we are not okay. We wish it wasn't the case. But that is not the case with Jesus. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured. Now, those of us who know how to cook can relate to it a bit. Those of us who know how to cook. You realize that when you cook, okay, when she cooks. when you cook and you see people eating, how do you feel? It's special. Like the being in the kitchen and the time. But when you see that people have gathered and they are enjoying what you prepared. But imagine you put in all the effort and then they don't come. You don't say, okay, if you don't come, I'll eat it myself. That's not. The joy of Jesus is increased when we come to him for strength, for forgiveness, for power. to be able to run with endurance. So that on the cross, he was taking the place of us. So Jesus had a race that was set before him, and he ran successfully and with endurance. Because we fail. Perhaps some of us, we are sitting here this morning and we've actually given up on life. We are actually not expecting any great thing from our lives. We are going to work, we are going to school, but we are not expecting anything, that God will use us to do anything. And when we attempt to run, the friction in our lives, we are actually enjoying it, forgetting that it's impeding us. All those, Jesus took it on the cross for us. So that now, today, when you come to him, when you look to him and you rely on him, this is what you have to know. His joy is increased when you come to him to appropriate the reason why he ran. He's not frustrated. So, look around. Have the right mindset. Look inward. Lay aside every impediment. But look upward. And let your heart be melted that you are Jesus' joy. In fact, the only time we are told in the Bible that Jesus endured the cross is here. The only time we are told that Jesus endured the cross. And we are told why he endured. The joy. To see me forgiven and empowered and strengthened to run the race he has set before me. To do all that it takes for me to be able to run successfully and complete the race he has set before me. Joy. So, let's turn our eyes on Jesus and run with endurance. Shall we pray? Do you feel that you have the wrong mindset? You want to look unto Jesus, who has run ahead of us. He's the forerunner. And say, Lord, I want to have the right mindset. That if all these people, this cloud of witness, they were successful even though they were flawed because of their faith in you. Jesus, I believe that under you I would also run successfully. I want to pray that, Lord, give us the right mindset in life. This is not a self-help, self-motivation. No, if it is, it will fail. But it's anchored on Jesus, our forerunner. All those who run successfully look to him. And they didn't fail. It means that we also, when we look to him, our destinies will not end in shambles. Will not end in the gutter. It will be upward and onward, glorifying him. You want to pray that, Lord, please, may I have the right mindset as I turn my eyes on you. You want to pray as we look unto him, knowing that when we come to him, his joy is increased. You want to go before him for the strength to lay aside, to put off the impediments in our life that are impeding our running. Those thoughts, those relationships, For others, they may be innocent, but for you, you have this sense that it is a weight, it is a sin, it is impeding you running with endurance. You want to look unto Jesus. His joy is increased when we appropriate what is done for us. So you are saying, Lord Jesus, please give me grace to lay aside. Yes, Lord. So, Lord Jesus, our prayer is that you enable us to see, to know, and to believe that your joy was to see us enabled, cleansed, forgiven, and empowered to run with endurance the race set before us. When we come to you for forgiveness, you are not frustrated, your joy is increased, because that is why you came. So, Lord, we pray, melt our hearts with this truth and enable each of us, Lord, to run with endurance the dreams you have given to us, the desires you have put into our hearts. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that none of us will check out of life. We pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that the limitations we see around us, Lord, will not lead us to draw the conclusion that for us, nothing good will come out of it. Lord, you want us and you desire us to run with endurance. So we pray for a fresh grace even as we turn our eyes on you. Where there's despondency, where the people just giving up, we pray, oh God, enable us to turn our eyes unto you, Jesus, that we can run. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.